Welcome back to the Fast Break, Season 2, Episode 10, overall episode 160. And we're going to be doing this like we normally do, probably every month or every other month. So we're going to be back with our NBA award predictions. I believe our first time for the 2021-22 season. Aaron, let's start always with the Coach of the Year. Who do you have winning it this year?
Well, I had three candidates for each award. And I think Coach of the Year is usually an award that goes to kind of the most improved team. I mean, you have the most improved player, and then the most improved team award usually goes to the coach. I mean, you had the Suns and the Knicks and the Jazz being the three most improved teams last year, and those respective coaches were the ones in the running. So I kind of went with the teams, again, that I think will surprise people. So I actually have my winner is Steve Nash, because I think the Nets can win a ton of games this year. Like, I'm talking like 60-plus. I think they're going to roll through the regular season. Just I don't see them really having any competition with a lot of teams, and they're going to smash a lot of teams. So I just think that with their dominance, they can Steve Nash in there. And then my runner-ups are Steve Kerr and Quinn Snyder. I feel like even though the Jazz were the one seed last year, they still – surprised a lot of people, and most people don't expect them to do it again. So if they were to get to the one seed or even the two seed next year, I think he'd be in the running. And then Steve Kerr, because the Warriors were pretty bad last year, the past 2 years. But with Klay Thompson back, I think that Steve Kerr could get some of the credit of trying to mesh these young guys that they've drafted recently and these guys that have been in those championship teams. And if they can get a top four seed home court advantage, I think he'll be in the running as well.
Yep, I've got two. Number two, possibly some bias. I've got James Borrego just on an extension with the Hornets. I think sometimes in the past we've seen where a young star takes off in year two or three and leads a team to a top two or three seed. The Coach of the Year could win that award. I think the Hornets have the potential to do that. If LaMelo Ball continues to improve, it's definitely a long shot, but I think it's a possibility. If the Hornets are good, he'll be in the running for that award. My winner is Quinn Snyder of the Utah Jazz. I think the Jazz will be very good, and this is always a regular season award, obviously, and it's not really about how good they've been in the postseason in the past few years, but for him to lead this team to the best record in the NBA last year, and I think they'll be close again, he'll get some credit for that, I think he at least should, so that's why I've got him number one.
Yeah, I mean, he's always a really good regular season coach, and year after year, they've always won a lot of games, and he's never won the award, so I think that this year could be his year, especially if they get the one seed again, he'll surprise some people along the way, so I wouldn't be surprised, but every year, I feel like he's in my top three, and he hasn't gotten it yet, so I'd be very happy if that ends up happening.
Yep, all right, moving on to most improved player. Who do you have here?
Well, I have two candidates. I feel like this is an award that's the hardest to predict because you're expecting someone to improve that's going to end up being unexpected. So I kind of went with two guys that are kind of going to have a bigger role this year. My runner-up is Darius Garland with the Cavs. I feel like the Cavs have kind of been working with this interesting backcourt with him and Colin Sexton, where they're both kind of undersized and they haven't had a real chance to shine. But with Evan Mobley here, there's going to be a spotlight on them. And I think that re-signing Jared Allen also is going to be a good improvement. Or I mean, they already had him, but having him for the whole year is going to help. And so I think that he'll kind of have a little bit bigger spotlight on him, and people are going to notice what he does. And if he gets to around 20 points per game, I can definitely see him coming close to this award or even winning it, because even 2 years ago, he was averaging like 3 points a game his rookie year. So that'd be a definite improvement. But my winner is Terrence Mann of the Clippers. We saw last year in the playoffs, he just went off, especially against the Jazz. He had a 40-point game, which no one saw coming. And with Kawhi out for half the year, a couple months of the year, he might be their third-best player, even their second-best player sometimes, because you have Paul George, Reggie Jackson, and then I don't know who's their next scorer after that, and he could even score more than Jackson. So I think that he's a young guy with the chance to improve, and I have him winning it with this new opportunity.
All right, I've got two candidates as well. I got number two, RJ Barrett. Not really sure he will improve, but I think if he does and this Knicks team stays where they're at or improves in the improves in the standings, he he will get consideration for the award. I think he's been hovering around 16 points a game the past few years. If he gets that up to 20 points, 7-8 rebounds, 4 assists, that would be very good numbers as a number 2, number 3 option behind Julius Randle. And then Kemba Walker's there, obviously, now. So I think he could be in the running for that award. And then I've got John Collins winning it all. We've seen guys in the past, namely C.J. McCollum, who they've been around another established young superstar, Damian Lillard in that case. So John Collins being number 2 to Trae Young if he takes off. His main issues right now are efficiency and defense. So if he can improve on those and still be putting up a 20-10 stat line most nights, I think I'm not sure he will, but I would be, as a voter, I would give John Collins some consideration.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I mean, especially since he had a down year last year, his numbers will look really good in comparison no matter what he does, because I think he's going to have to improve. And the Hawks are going to be really good. So if they win a lot of games, you're probably not going to give it to Trae Young because he's been consistently great. And a lot of the other players are older or not as far along in their progression. So I'd say if you're going to pick a candidate from the Hawks, Collins is definitely the right guy, and I can definitely see that happening.
Yep. All right, moving on to Rookie of the Year. So let's remind everybody of our preseason Rookie of the Year picks last year. I believe mine was Dini Avdija of the Wizards. That did not pan out. And you can correct me if I'm wrong. Did you have Onyeka Okongwu of the Hawks?
I did, and I forget who Nick had, but it was someone really dumb too.
I think it was Killian Hayes.
Oh yeah, that's correct. So we've mentioned this before. We don't have a lot of great picks so far, but I feel like this year you have basically what, like 5 candidates. Like if you're picking someone out of the top 5, that's I would be very surprised. So all 3 of my guys are definitely in the top 5.
All right, I'll go first. Let's time switch up a little bit. I've got a dark horse number 2. I'm not really sure he's number 2 on my list, but if someone outside that top 5 wins it, I'm going to go with Trey Murphy the 3rd.
Okay.
Believe I just wrote down where he's playing. He's on the Pelicans right now. Very good 3-and-D out of Virginia. The reason I had this pick here, New Orleans needs to step it up now for Zion to get in the playoffs. And I think he can do that. He's a guy that can step in and play heavy minutes and be productive immediately, which is Rookie of the Year. You in a down year, you have guys like that who are giving you 12 points, 6 rebounds, and a good team guy. In other years, you've got stars, and I think that could be Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, those are the obvious top 2. So I'm going to have my winner, and then Trey Murphy is my dark horse, kind of like Tyrese Halliburton was this past year for the Kings. And my number 1, based off just the summer league, I've got Jalen Green. Wasn't as high on him in the draft. I actually had him going 4th behind Suggs and Mobley, but I was very impressed with his limited summer league. I liked him a little bit more than Cade Cunningham. He plays with a chip on his shoulder. I think there's some doubters, and he didn't go to college. He didn't play college basketball, which is still which makes people skeptical. Saying he's already making enemies, saying he didn't want to go to Detroit. I think the Rockets have a better supporting cast around him to help than they do in Detroit for Cade Cunningham. So I've got Jalen Green as my number 1 year favorite.
Yeah, I mean, I have actually pretty much identical takes, but I have Cunningham as my 3rd runner-up. I'm just he has to be in the top 3 because he was the 1st overall pick, and it seemed like he was the clear pick. But in summer league, the Pistons were kind of using him as a guy just like sitting outside the 3-point line, like catch and shoot or catch and drive. Like he wasn't really creating as much as I expected in the few games or highlights that I saw, and so I think that he'll be really good. He'll probably score a lot of points, but I have 2 guys that are a little bit flashier maybe. Number 2, I have Jalen Suggs. The Magic, he can do whatever he wants. I mean, there's nobody on that team he's competing with, really. He's definitely probably their best prospect, at least at the guard position, and so I think that he'll have the ball in his hands, and he can score a lot of points, so he's my runner-up. But I have Jalen Green 1st as well, and I think it's interesting because last year we did our like player spotlights before the draft even started. That was the long off season, so we had plenty of time. It's interesting. I've listened to a couple of those episodes since, and it's so different when you don't even know where they're going to play or what they're going to do, and they had different roles in college and everything. So if we had done those spotlights before the draft, Jalen Green, I would have been really down on. I did not like what I saw. He's just this brash, cocky guard who shoots a ton of shots, isn't very efficient, is really athletic. It's all these highlight plays, but just I wasn't a huge fan of. But then you watch him in summer league, and like he's a built-in star for the Rockets. Like he was really, really good, and you can see him definitely becoming a star in the league, and I think he's going to have a really good first year. So I have Jalen Green also as my rookie of the year pick.
All right, so maybe we'll have better luck this year. Now, moving on to the probably two most sought-after awards, Defensive Player of the Year. I'll let you go first here.
All right, well, I ended up with Rudy Gobert as my favorite. I'll say that up front because I think he should be the favorite every year. I mean, he's 89 overall in 2K this year because he's the best defensive player in the world, in my opinion. And we've had so many debates about what his role is, but the truth is he's not giving you a ton offensively, which means all of his value comes defensively. And when his teams win this many games every single year, you have to know that something's working there. So I have him as my favorite. And then as my runner-ups, I have Giannis and Clint Capella. I think Giannis wasn't going to get four straight or anything like that, or three straight rather. But after we saw what he did last year, he was incredible. He had that block that was the biggest play of the playoffs and one of the biggest plays in the season or finals history, really. Is incredible, and it was a defensive play, not anything scoring-wise. So I think that he's my runner-up. And then Clint Capella, I think the Hawks are going to be a lot better. We talked about it when you were talking about your rookie or the most improved picks with John Collins. And I think Clint Capella is going to have an opportunity to have a spotlight on him, and people are going to see how many blocks he gets, and he's just going to be their kind of veteran big man there in Atlanta that will really help them out.
Yep. Number two for me, I've got a guard. I guess I'll start off. I also have Gobert number one for me. I agree. I think he's, I'm not saying he's the most skilled defender if there's defensive skill, but his presence on defense makes him the most valuable defender there is. I think even we watched, which we'll talk about tomorrow, we'll go over the Olympics. In the Olympics, he didn't have an offensive role because he was able, just based off the coaching and the style France was running, get a guard, any guard really switched on him. He can do a lot on offense. Wasn't great from the free throw line, but was converting pretty much every chance he had under the basket. So I think he has to be your favorite after what he's done and improved his career. But number two for me, I've got a guard. I always like having guards at least top three in defense. I feel like this is always a big man or power forward award. I've got Matisse Thybulle here, really known for doing a little bit of everything, steals, blocks, rebounds, and score a little bit. I think he'll make some improvements this year to his game, and I think Philadelphia, they've got a little pressure on them to perform, and if they do that, Thybulle will be a good reason of that.
We'll talk about this a lot more tomorrow when we're talking about the Olympics. But another thing with Gobert playing for France is internationally, you can just sit in the paint as much as you want. And he just stood under the basket. And anytime anybody wanted to drive, they couldn't do anything. Also, in the international game, there's less shooters. So he didn't always have to be he couldn't always be stretched out. So he was really good. And I think getting silver, although he's disappointed, that can probably carry into this season and kind of have another or a great mentality about trying to win a lot of games.
Yep. Moving on to the most valuable player award now. This was harder for me than it has been in the past. Obviously, my pick last year was Giannis. Didn't work out, but I was correct in predicting the Bucks would win the NBA title. So, Aaron, let's hear. Who are your top two or three MVP favorites?
Well, I think to be an MVP, you have to be a top 10 player in the league. I ranked my top 10 players in the NBA with Chase Gibson a couple of days ago. And so I just went off that list and picked the three that have the best opportunity. And I'll start with all the people that I don't think have a chance and my excuses for them. Damian Lillard, we don't know what's going on there. His teammates have been on the trade block. He can never get out of the first round. And he just has this stigma around him that I don't think he's going to be able to win enough games or score enough points because he scored so many that it's not going to be as impressive. Joel Embiid has even more drama going on with his team because the 76ers are in complete turmoil and nobody has any idea what's happening. James Harden is the second best player on his team, so some of the spotlight is going to be taken away. unless he ends up being the best player, which I don't foresee happening. Kawhi Leonard's going to be injured too much. Nikola Jokic won it last year. He's not good enough to win it back-to-back. And Giannis won it 2 years ago, or 2 years in a row. And I still, even after the finals run, think that there's some fresh blood in the water that will give him a less as good chance, or rather his opponents a better chance of winning. So here are my three final candidates. Oh, also LeBron. I mean, I just can't see him winning it. I feel like last year was his best chance. And if he's not, maybe if he's the one seed, but other than that, I don't really see it happening. Okay, so my three candidates. My third is Luka Doncic. He's a young guy. Everyone seems to like him. Does a lot of complaining, but other than that, there's really no kind of things people don't like about him. So there's no voters that dislike him, which is in his favor. But also, I think that the Mavericks would just be better overall. So that's what he has going for him. I didn't see anything I can take points off for. My two final candidates. Second, I have Curry. The Warriors, I just think, are going to be really good. You have them winning the championship. If they're anywhere close to that, at least in the regular season, he's going to be up there in the MVP standings in the ladder, because he's really good. We saw last year how good he was. He was top five for MVP last year, and his team didn't even make the playoffs. So that just shows how insane he is. I think he's definitely going to be in the top three. And then number one, I have Kevin Durant. Chase and I both had him as the best player in the league. And after his playoff performance last year, we both thought he was the best player in the playoffs as well. So I have him winning the MVP. I think the Nets are going to be the best team in the regular season. I think they're going to win the finals too. And with that, I think their best player is going to win MVP. So I have Kevin Durant.
Yep. The only reason I considered all three of the Nets, really, I just don't think that I don't think there's enough touches really to go around. I mean, they all could put up 30 a game. I just don't know if you can give an MVP to a guy, to a team with three of the best eight players in the league. So I got my top three kind of similar to yours. I got Curry at number three for pretty much all the same reasons. I do still have the Warriors going to NBA Finals and winning it as of now. I'm not sure how long I'll keep that prediction though. I think it was released today. Klay Thompson expects to be back for their Christmas Day matchup. So we'll see how that goes. Once again, a young squad until that point. So number two, I've got Luka Doncic. I think he's really the only good player on that, great player on that team. So he's really set up for the MVP if they have a home court advantage and if he puts up good numbers, which I'm sure he will. So he's kind of set up for it. You can't really say, well, you can't make excuses. Well, he was playing with this or he had this. He's really by himself. But my number one is LeBron James. I went with him because I feel like his legacy is kind of in danger of slipping and being the second greatest player of all time. I think he realizes he needs one more championship and maybe one more MVP to really be considered by himself with Michael Jordan as the two greatest players of all time. And I think we just saw that report was leaked that in an anonymous survey with every NBA exec and scout, zero of them gave him their ranking for best player in the NBA. So there's as odd as to say, LeBron also has a chip on his shoulder. And I think losing in the first round for the first time in his career, he's got a lot to prove coming into this year that the Lakers are still for real and he can still lead a team to a championship. So right now I've got LeBron winning MVP.
Yeah, right before I gave my candidates, I kind of gave a half-hearted excuse for why LeBron couldn't win it. Because you're right, he doesn't have a real reason against him. He always has some chip on his shoulder. He always finds some reason. I think last year it was maybe his worst performance in the playoffs other than the year he didn't make it. And with all the injuries surrounding his team, the kind of COVID years, there's plenty of excuse to be given there. But a lot of people also were blaming his age and saying that he couldn't win. And for the first half of the year, he was kind of in the MVP ladder. And then he just kind of fell out of it over time as other players had better performances and he seemed to slip a little. I mean, he would be the oldest MVP of all time, I believe. And I think that would definitely be another thing to add on his resume. I think there's some people who are never going to say he's the best player of all time, no matter what. But there's others who, maybe if he wins another championship, maybe if he wins another MVP, his statistics will just be too much to debate against. So I think that's a definite pick that could definitely happen. And you brought up some good points about Kevin Durant too. I think with those two guys, it'll be interesting to see how it works. I think they'll win a lot of games. I had Steve Nash as my coach of the year and winning the championship and everything. But you could say that last year in the playoffs, he was only so dominant because some of his teammates were injured. I mean, he had, I saw today, what statistically is maybe the second greatest playoff performance of all time. Just was with those insane shooting splits and everything. I think it was game 5 against the Bucks. And he probably wouldn't have done that if he's sharing the ball with Harden and Irving, so, or Kyrie. So I think that there's more candidates this year than most years, or maybe less obvious candidates than most years. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I mean, last year was really against that Sun series was the first time I ever didn't expect a LeBron team to win a game or a playoff series. I mean, even when he was so heavily undermatched against the Warriors, I still thought there was a real chance they were going to win those NBA Finals. But against the Suns, I just didn't see it from him. So I think he got a lot to prove this year. And the only two arguments really against him by people that say Jordan's the greatest of all time is the championships count, which he is too short of Jordan. And they say he doesn't have the mentality that a player like Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant had. So he's still got time to prove it. At age 38, winning an MVP and the championship, that would probably silence those doubters. So we'll see what happens. Any last thoughts before we sign off for now?
Yeah, I think the LeBron-MJ debate is just something that's going to go on forever. I'm not sure if one more MVP or one more championship like ends it or anything. I mean, people are always going to say that he has weaker competition or that he lost all those finals. But you can make the numbers go either way, and most of them LeBron's winning in. I mean, he went to, what, 9 finals in 10 years? Like, Jordan didn't do that. But just because he's been in the league longer, you can – a lot of the counting stats just go in his favor. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, I'm sure this is a debate that will come up again if he's close to winning another MVP.
Yep, completely agree. I think that's all we got for today. Like you mentioned earlier, we'll be back tomorrow with some talk on the Olympics. So thanks for listening. We'll see you then.